Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of The Podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, E. Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
wait, Dan.
Dan Smith.
Goddamn Smiths. All right. Upstairs, the left-hand corner, beaming in from Austin. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
What's going on, boys? Pumped to talk shop. Pumped to talk Super Bowl. And, of course, about to go down. We get our first five-person cast. Love it.
Up there in the corner right as well, beaming in from the desert, Matt Common, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Man, I'm in heaven. This is Smith Overload, and I love it.
Yeah, so let's just get to it. I'm pumped to two of my cousins here, the co-owners of Smith Family Popcorn, and one of the best concert venues on the Cape, Neptune's. Pat Smith and Dan Smith. Welcome in, guys.
I'm just happy to be here. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Now, we should mention that Smith Family Popcorn originates out of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Neptune's is in downtown Hyannis on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And you guys grew up there. So, obviously, first of all, we have them on to be, you know, give the Patriots side of this argument.
Go ahead, Pat. Yeah, are we getting right into that?
Yeah, it's a classic underdog story. Nobody giving us any credit. The big bad Seattle team from the West. You know, we're just trying to scratch out a win. You know, maybe a field goal win, but you know, you guys are the favorites. We're just happy to be there.
I want to be the first to congratulate the Seattle Seahawks as the Super Bowl 60 champions. Good work. Don't even have to play the game.
Wow.
Is this a reverse jinx?
This is, yeah. I mean, look, hey, boys, Belichick isn't there. You don't have to go full Belichick mode. Classic underdog story. I don't think anybody at the beginning of the season said, oh, you know who's going to be there? The Hawks and the Patriots.
We know you got a great line to the coach, Ted. You brought us on to give you bulletin board material. You're going to, as soon as this is over, you're going to send this out to your millions of people in your audience. Next thing you know, we'll have viral
billions.
We'll be all over. Yeah, billions of people listening to this. They'll say, oh, the Smith brothers from Cape Cod calling their shot. We know how this goes. We know what you're trying to set us up for. We know that it's going to be bulletin board material.
Those idiots fell right into Ted's trap. We're not falling for it, Ted.
Did you guys rehearse this at the popcorn shop?
No. Well, unfortunately, no.
This brings up another strong point that, like, I'm the only Smith that made a career out of it, but they're all pretty entertaining and no ball. So, I mean, how Patrick played college football. I mean, he probably knows more ball than anybody in the family.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, I've been watching a lot of different things. I think it has potential to be a good game. I think we're either going to get the doors blown off, or I think we could win a close 3-point game. That's kind of our MO. Like, you know, to sound a little bit conceited, we've been enough of these Super Bowls. We know how they go. And I was talking to my son and I was saying, you know, it's the ones that you think you're going to win that you end up losing. And sometimes it's the ones that you think you're going to lose that you end up winning. So, you know, we've had, you know, giant Super Bowls where we could have the perfect season and we end up losing the game on BS. And then we've had games, you know, like the last time we played the Seahawks that, you know, we won on some BS a little bit. So I think at the end of the day, it's like you get into the game. You know, if we can get some pass rush, especially up the middle, and on Sam Darnold. I hope we can make him make a couple bad decisions, you know. And if we can shut down the run game's obviously a strong suit for you guys. You know, I think we have a chance to hang in the game and kind of get there and kind of be there at the end. But again, it wouldn't shock me if we got our doors completely blown off and you guys do run away with it. I mean, you look pretty dominant in the playoffs, but yeah, I think it's going to be, I hope we get the old Sam Darnold, not the Sam Darnold of the last couple of years, because he's looked pretty great in the playoffs, I gotta say.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I'm wearing a hat that simply says run the damn ball. So, I mean, it's like it's very well known that last Super Bowl matchup. I'll also be honest with you. Like, I was so concentrated on the NFC and stuff. Like, maybe I just didn't pay enough attention to the AFC. As somebody checked the other day, they're like, who are the best players on the Patriots defense? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I know they're good. And then you guys have a special teams guy that kind of shows up here and there too.
Yeah, schooler. I mean, the other thing about our defense is, like you said, it's like a no name defense. You know, Christian Gonzalez is a pretty stud cornerback, but beyond that, it's just a bunch of kind of like misfit toys that we signed in the offseason. And I don't know. I think that has been the whole thing has been like, yeah, the Patriots haven't played anybody. And
Correct.
which is somewhat true. I will say they've played three out of the top five defenses in the playoffs. But I don't know, as far as like I think as far as the national media is concerned of like, yeah, they haven't played anybody. So I think we've kind of just flown under the radar as like, yeah, we don't have to worry about that team. They're shit, and we kind of just snuck into a two seed of the AFC. And I don't know. We're still just kind of like hanging around. So.
I mean, Dan, I was completely in that crew too. I was like, ah, yeah, they'll find out in the playoffs. And then it's like, yeah, they just keep winning. It's
They
also,
just have they have a really, really good coach. And so do you guys.
I was going to
But
say, I think it's more of this is the weirdest matchup because they're not, these two teams don't seem that different. Like, we have a
no.
couple more brand name stars, right? JSN had a phenomenal year. Right. Then you bring in, Lawrence and a couple guys, Ernest Jones on defense. But like, I'm with you. I'm just like, I think both these teams just, put on their hard hat and go to work.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we've been in some of these games where it's like if I like losing to the Giants is like one of the worst things in the world. Losing to the Eagles is one of the worst things in the world. It's like the Seahawks, like I don't know. I like your guys' team. I like Sam Darnold. I like his whole story, how he just kind of like, you know, basically just got back to the basics and like relearned the game of football and in like a pro style offense. And you know, I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna be upset if the Patriots lose, but it's I don't know, it's not like it's losing to like a bitter rival.
Well, and Matt and Cobb will agree. Like, A, the Seahawks are favored, but B, we got to live through that f***ing hell of that play call every Super Bowl cycle, right? So it's just like, I don't really have any beef with, like, this is a different Patriots team. There's nobody there, right? But I'm just like, not again. At least if we won this time, it would kind of ease up the just pain of watching that highlight every year.
I mean, Ted, your hat says it. Run the damn ball.
Yeah.
You know, you
Now
have the
the
number one
flip
running back in
side.
the league.
I
Now
have it
the
in
flip
two
side.
colors, boys. I have
Let's
that
go, Ted. God damn it. Yes.
Are you
colors.
distributing those?
Ted tattooed on
No.
his forehead.
Well, and Matt and Cobb will attest too, and I like Pat, I'm sure you agree with me. Like, that's I just scream it all the time. I like whatever football I'm watching, like especially even with the Huskies this year, like watching them play Oregon, I was like, run the damn ball. Yeah, so just I ordered these hats and they finally showed up like last week. So I've been trying to wear something Seahawks or Seahawks adjacent for the last 2 weeks. So for you boys tonight, I broke out the white one.
Yeah,
It's
yep.
fresh.
I like it. The
Clean.
flip side of that story, I mean, everyone knows the heartbreak on like the Seattle side. The flip side of that moment I'm not kidding when I tell people that moment was the best moment of my life. And I say that,
You
I'm
had
not kidding.
kids.
I say that I have two kids. I am married. Like, and it's still the best moment of my life. And the I'm telling you because no, seriously.
It makes
Because
it
when you
worse.
No, because like when you have a kid, you're like, you're expecting it. And you're like, okay, I'm ready for this moment. I'm ready for this moment. Same thing with the wedding. There's such a, like a build up to all these things. For that Super Bowl, like the miracle catch by who was a curse, like on the sideline, he fell on the ground, somewhat
Oh,
caught the
yeah.
ball. It was, and this was coming off of two like really bad losses, and the Giants lost off of like free catches, one by Manningham, one by David Tyree. So it was like, oh my God, it happened again. I can't believe it happened again. And like the game was over. That was it. We're going back into like dark ages for Dan. And like that interception is like, oh my God. It went from like the lowest of lows to the highest of highs in literally half a second. It was like, it's something I've never experienced before in my life. The best moment of my life.
That
So
is a miracle freak play kind of situation. I didn't really think about it
yes.
from the other side, but like that's you're sitting there like covering your face on the couch. It's like,
It was
oh my
over.
gosh.
Yeah.
There's 20 seconds left, second down, and they have the ball on the what? The 2 yard line. And they have freaking Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch had already had that run that Hightower barely stopped. I mean, like the fact that they didn't score on the play before, I mean, yeah, it was crazy. So my wife was pregnant at the time with my first son. We didn't have any kids, right? Just 2015. And I was sitting there watching the game. I put my hand on her stomach and I said, "We need one right now. Like, if you're in there, like, if you're still close to God, you haven't come out yet. So you're still in the in-between stage. So if you got his ear, we need this right now."
Let me
And
know.
ask for much.
yeah, like, literally, it happened. He came out
Just
and
my
I was like,
firstborn.
yeah, you can do no wrong. Like that kid is a golden child forever just for giving me that.
Mean, he is kind of a stud.
That was his first win, but it
Oh
wouldn't
my
be the last.
God.
I mean, look, I've said it on the cat. So two things. Full disclosure, again, I was not nearly as committed back then as I am now as a Seahawks fan. But the place I was living in Belltown, and everybody's heard the story, but like I was in, first of all, I started at a Super Bowl party, and then me and a group of friends left to go watch the game at his house because the party had fans from, people that were cheering for whatever. So we go to their house and we're watching the game, and in the fourth quarter, the year they won, I wasn't in the city. And I was like, hey, man, I'm getting in an Uber. I was that confident. So we're going to win this game. So I go home. I'm sitting in my, and like when I walk in, it's gotten very close at this point, right? The riot police are set up like underneath my building, right? They're ready for the party. I go upstairs. My slider's open. When he makes that grab, I mean, you can just hear it. Like the whole city's erupted. And then. Two plays or a couple plays later, just the silence and just, I mean, I feel it right now in my heart, just looking at the TV and just like, nah. Like that didn't just happen. Like there's no way that just happened.
Insane. Insane. Lowest of lows to the highest of highs.
And that's the worst part is like sitting here, one of us is going to have that disgusting, horrible feeling. Like it probably won't happen in that, like, it won't happen maybe in that fashion, but like still, it's just, you just don't know when you're going to get another chance to go back to this. You know what I mean? Like
No,
we,
it will. It will happen in one of those fashions. Like
yeah.
that this is, what have there been, nine the Patriots, like in my lifetime, I've seen nine Patriots Super Bowls. Every single one has been within, like it's been a field goal game. It's going to be a heartbreaking game. That's the only thing I'm pretty sure about.
I'm with Pat though. There is, God, I hate to say it. I think there is a slight chance that Seahawks defense might just be better than, frankly, the Broncos were, or and I know the Texans were number one. Like,
But
so
it's
there
when you
is a
have
chance we could jump on them early.
and there's no weather. Like the playoffs, the weather has been our friend. You know what I mean? I think that's the good thing about the Patriots too. You know, for us is that, and you know, Kurt Warner's talked a lot about that this week, and you know, it's just we played some games that we're kind of used to playing, these messy, grimy games, and this one's not going to be like that. You know, you guys do, you know, you looked pretty electric in the playoffs, and so yeah. But again, I go back to the 0-1 game, you know, Brady's first Super Bowl. When again, it was the fastest show on turf and nobody gave us any chance. And that's this year kind of feels like that. And I'm talking to some of the younger people that work for us and they're like, this is so weird. This is crazy this year. And I'm like, this is what it feels like where you just scrape by, you scrape by, you scrape by. And then somehow you're looking at the end and you're just like, I can't believe that happened. And again, it's like the years that we were undefeated, I thought we would just coast through. Like I thought we'd smash the Giants both those years and we end up losing. So. Like I said before, I think it could be one of those years where it just you snake one out and you're like, I can't believe that. And then you have other more talented teams that just you just get beat and you're like disgusted in the other way, you know? It's like the ones you don't expect you get.
It's also crazy to me as I'm like, just give us this one, then you guys can have next year. But it's like McDonald's only in his second year. Right? I mean, Vrabel's in his first year. So it's like, I mean,
Seems
in
to be
theory,
good.
these teams should both be good for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, JSN is a freak. He's obviously entering his prime, you know.
I know. Everybody keeps talking to, they're like, the Patriots are gonna double team him and do this and that. It's like, you don't think the f***ing Rams were doubling him? Like, the guy might just be that good that like he's gonna get he gets grabs every game. I think his over under is like 94 yards, so I don't know if he'll get 100, but like he's gonna get some catches.
Yeah. Well, and also, don't you guys have a ton of cap space going into next year? So, like, yeah, like it's, I think you guys have a really nice opportunity. But I mean, it's scary. Like, if you know, there's plenty of people who think they're going to get back there. But again, you guys have good cap space. I think you guys, you know, are you've already kind of nailed it on the rebuild. And if Darnold can really be this guy, I mean, yeah, the sky's the limit with money.
So we've talked about it on the podcast here. I think Pat, I know we've talked about it on the phone. I think Dan, I'd talk to you about it this summer. But last year, literally yesterday was the anniversary of me meeting Coach McDonald backstage at a comedy show. And like we talked football, great dude. And when I was leaving, I've had a couple of the adult beverages. I remember, and I looked at him, I said, "Hey man, you got to run more slants." And he went, "Ah, yeah, that's it. Run the slant more." And I was like, "Yeah." But Cobb and Matt and I've decided in a perfect world, they win on a slant and I take credit.
Mean, I think Ted has to get a ring if that's the case.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Also, the balls it would take to throw a slant inside the 5-yard line with the
Oh
game
my
on the
God.
line.
Total
He's
redemption.
just under center. He's like, Ted Smith, Ted Smith. Throw the slant.
Be Ted Smith. Be Ted Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
What do
I
you
mean, it's.
think, Matt? How do you think it's gonna go?
Man, I haven't paid too much attention to the Patriots. They just kept winning. You know, I'd see their strength of schedule and kind of shrug it off. And yeah, they're just a team built in Vrabel's image of just like tough grittiness and also a really quick turnaround from like 4-13 back-to-back years to the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, I think two really good defenses, two quarterbacks with a ton of potential and a couple flaws, and you know, like they're very similar. I think they're, you know, more the more I learn, the more I'm like, they're more evenly matched than I thought. I still think the Hawks have the edge on paper, but you know, that's why they play the game. Anything can happen. So, yeah, a lot of scar tissue left over from 2014. I've had to, you know, really sit with that and, you know, process it, unpack it, and you know, we'll see if we get the complete redemption tour. If we can beat the Patriots after knocking off the 49ers on the Rams to get there, like I'm so f***ing excited to smoke that Marb Red with our friend Sean. You guys met
In
Sean, right?
the goddamn Niner Stadium.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's already some pure joy of the fact they had to spray paint Seahawks in one of their end zones.
Yeah, those banners of Sam in front, and it's just like, oh, this is our house now, bitch.
This is mainly for my cousins, but you know what? F cousin Tom.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that is sweet too. Yeah, beating two division rivals like that. Yeah, that's.
It's quick side note. Low key is the Niners Stadium one of the ugliest stadiums in the NFL?
Awful.
That yes. stadium stinks.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
looks like it's like just toothpicks.
I haven't been there, Cobb. Have you been there yet?
No.
All right,
and it's like new, right?
It's like, new and it's in basically. Yeah. It's in San Jose.
Yeah, it's a yeah. weird location. It's like nothing close. Like these other stadiums, like SoFi that have been built recently, are just like unreal. And I think that's like almost as old as SoFi, or like they're really close. And I've been to yeah. SoFi like 3 or 4 times, and it's so amazing. And then every time I see that, I'm like, "What the hell were you thinking?"
It looks like a carnival ride. Yeah. Like the way it's like. It's just like stuck up with just kind of like these metal beams. It's like,
yeah,
it looks like it could be taken down at any moment and just shipped off to the next city.
I mean,
oh my God. Yeah. I'm looking at this thing now, Matt, you're right. SoFi is beautiful. That thing is a work of art. This, yeah, it looks like a weird, like roller coaster. I mean, it's just like
carnival
ride. I-beams bolted together. This thing's kind of a joke. It actually
should have been built in like
temporary.
The 80s.
Yeah. This yeah. is a, bad looking stadium. I don't know who the architect was on this, but they should be embarrassed. Oh
yeah,
my
and the thing
God.
Is they have, I mean, it's got to be decently nice inside because they have major events there all the time, right? I think they already played a natty there. I know the World yeah. Cup's playing there. And I mean, how far is Gillette from like Boston?
45 minutes.
Yeah, like an hour.
How long does it take you guys from the Cape?
Same.
45 minutes.
All right. So I guess we won't talk about how Levi Stadium sucks because it's 45 minutes or an hour from the city.
No, that's not why it sucks. It sucks just because of the way it looks. No, the cool thing about Gillette is that Gillette is like in the middle of the woods, basically. I mean, the Crafts built it up into basically a shopping mall around it a little bit, but like entering in, the way the players come in, because if they'll fly into Boston and then they'll drive into Gillette, and the way the away team has to come in is just through like the woods.
Yeah.
And players are always like weirded out. Like,
it's like,
where
a
the
high
heck
school
are we?
Stadium. Yeah. It almost feels like you're like traveling to like a high school game. I mean, obviously it's a big stadium. The nice thing is there's a lot of parking lots around too. So like the parking's not so bad. There's not a lot of public transportation, but yeah.
Yeah, in Seattle, Lumen's like the opposite, right? Beautiful stadium, design great, and it's super easy to get to by public transit. There is hardly any parking.
Yeah.
Really?
Right downtown.
Yeah, that's what I say. Like, yeah. I brought Cobb to my tailgate 2 weeks ago for the NSU championship game, the tailgate I go to, and I'm not kidding. It's across from the team shop. Like, if you were like, how do these guys get these spots? I don't know what time they get there, who they know. But it is prime tailgating.
Yeah.
Matt, what do you think of Matt? What do you think about like the substation next to the practice facility? What do you how they're like microwaving
Man.
Your players?
I got my blue light blockers on. Like, I don't think EMFs are nothing. You know, we don't know. Like, that's just it's all too new. And when it first came out, I was like, oh, this could be an opportunity to like do some like large scale, you know, research. Like we've noticed that trend, and you know, they've been one of the most injured teams in the leagues, and you know, so I'm intrigued by it, and you know, I think it's cool that like a lot of the players are also asking questions, but I don't pretend to like have all the answers about it. And you know, yeah, it's definitely, I would say it's not nothing. Like, it's worth looking into if you're running a multi-billion-dollar franchise that's dependent on your player's health.
Cobb, do you know this theory yet?
I do. And weirdly, my mom was saying this in the late 90s. She was like, we won't buy a house near high voltage power lines or near a substation. I feel like, she's a little bit of a, you know, we all got a little conspiracy in us. But Yeah, I feel like, you know, doctors are saying, hey, there's no way that this is, you know, related, but you're talking about soft tissue injuries in the knees primarily. It's like that soft tissue is pretty near to the surface. You got the IT band right there. Like, I think there's something to it. I mean, it could be like other people are saying, like, that they're not getting enough rest or their nutrition is messed up, but like statistically pretty significant. I don't know if that's what's going on, but like, it's kind of like when AstroTurf first came out, everyone was like tearing their knees, turning, and they were trying to figure out what it was. It was like if people were wearing those gum soles, you know, like gum sole shoes were just not allowing them to turn. So I think there's something to it. I think probably there's everyone always wants like one smoking gun. And the reality is most things are multivariate. So my guess is that it's X plus Y, but you know, who knows? I mean, I'm open to it. Also, like, my mind's been so blown with all the Epstein stuff this week that I'm like, anything is possible. Literally anything's possible.
Yeah, I mean, damn, I'll leave it alone. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, yeah, get it, release him. All right, it's like, come on.
Whoa,
we need it. If there's one thing we can all agree on,
take it back,
unrelease them.
Yeah, release it and let's arrest some people.
Why are you just gonna leave it hanging out there now? Now we have to just sit with all of this knowledge. It's like, can I get that back? Can I get
I
like
can't,
the
and
Men
it's
in
awful.
Black?
Yeah, it's awful to read. I'm just like, oh, like, yeah, I don't look. I'm to the point now, that stuff's so bad. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe there is a group of people, not saying one part or the other, that is eating people. Like, I don't know. And it's troubling. I will say this. And it's easy to say, I don't, at a certain level, I don't trust anybody with that much money. And
No.
I just feel like when you have everything at your fingertips, it gets weirder and weirder, right? Like
Yeah.
Cobb and I have gone blue in the face talking about porn, right? Like you watch porn after a while, just watching.
Wow. What?
There was
Hear
a
me out, Dan.
bus. Cobb
Off
got
cast,
thrown
just for
under
fun.
it.
Damn, dude. Step on my head while I'm drowning.
But after a while, you can only watch so many tan, you know, chubby blondes with big
Oh my God, dude.
you start clicking on other stuff before you know it, you're in a wormhole and somebody's in a full latex thing.
Look, we've
Fair
all gone
enough.
blue in the balls talking about porn with our friends.
Yeah. Classic
So,
stuff, really.
like, I'm just trying to say, sometimes those people, it's like, I don't know what they're into, and they've gone so far. Like, I don't know. I've dug a bad hole here.
No,
Jeez.
no.
Ted, I'm with you. It's
Going.
hedonic adaptation, man. It's like the, you know, you get used to whatever stimulus you're taking in, and so you got to go more extreme. You have to eat more sugar or eat more pizza or see a more beautiful woman to get that same, you know, hit of dopamine and serotonin. So you're right on track.
Yeah, it's
There's
like chasing the dragon, you know? It's just, you got to
exactly.
just keep pushing the boundaries.
So And I, right.
they're not bad people?
They're misunderstood.
Yes.
All right. That is the best one I saw was a meme today. It was just a picture of like Charlie Sheen, like with five cigarettes, and they're sticking out of his ears. And they're like, this guy's not in those.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's not looking good. Say that. No.
It doesn't look good for either. It's not like it was. I'm like, look, this ain't a political party thing. Like, it doesn't look good for a lot of those people. It just, yeah, reinforces. Anyhow,
It
the
does seem
Niner
like
Stadium.
it
seems
Is this the
like
time
it's
we switch it to an ad or
the Niner Stadium
How does
sucks,
this
and
work?
like the substation's hurting them. All right, since I have you guys on here. And also, just for the record, I feel like people would be annoyed if we didn't say this, but you know, f the Pats. Now, with that
Totally
said,
fair. Hey,
right?
that's where we like to be. We
Yeah.
like that.
Now, with that said, Pat, you have I've retold this story, but you've got to tell the story about the Giants Super Bowl
Oh,
in
God.
New York
Yeah.
City.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick. So, yeah, one time, so I like to watch Super Bowls pretty much by myself, or at least with people that are fans of the team that I'm fans with. So, I was living in New York City and everybody's like, "Oh, what are you doing for the game? What are you doing for the game?" I'm like, "I'm watching alone, I'm watching alone." So, Katie, my wife is like, we're going to invite these people over. My friends are like Miami Dolphins fans. I'm like, all right, that's fine. At least they're not Giants fans. So one of my friends brings over this girl and her boyfriend, and he is a huge Giants fan. I'd never met the kid. So he's sitting there and he's like, at first he's pretty quiet. Then next thing you know, he's like, as the Giants start to like pick up steam, he's getting in, he's getting in my face. He's getting loud. And this is like my apartment. I'm sitting there and I'm just getting pissed. Like I'm seething. Like I can't take it. I'm like, as the game's going on, and he's just getting louder and louder, getting rowdy. He's like, yeah, that's how you can do it. He's like flipping out, like going crazy or whatever. So the game ends and everybody's like, we lose, and everybody's standing around and, they're like, all right, what do you want to do? Grab some drinks. And the guy's like, yeah, let's grab some drinks. And I just turn and I go, everybody get the f out. And they look at me like I'm joking. They kind of turn and they're like, oh, like this guy, they're like, ha ha ha. Like, yeah, what do you want? You want a drink or whatever? I'm like, no, seriously, like get the f out of my apartment. Leave me the f alone. Like, get the f out of here. And they're like, all their faces just drop and they're like, oh shit, this guy's like psychotic. And like I said, I had never really met this guy, never talked to him after that day, but I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, just get the f out of here. And like, that's the Super Bowl. And I get it. It's like, it's irrational. I'm not playing in the game. It doesn't affect my life that much, but yeah, to have him in my face the whole time and then just be like, and like he like was like kind of a casual fan and he was so rowdy about it that I was just like,
Oh,
dude, what are you doing? Like, you don't even care that much. Like he couldn't talk about it really. Like I was like, oh, like, who's that player? What are they doing? Like, I kind of asked him questions. He's like, he didn't follow it that much. And so it's like my whole thing is like, if you're a diehard fan and you're like that, it's like, all right, cool. Like, I got some respect. Like, your emotions are bubbling over, and like, that's the way it is. Okay, I can sort of respect that. But if you're just doing it to put on a show in somebody else's house, like, I had bought all the food, the booze, everything, and it was just like, I was just like, nah, it's over. Get the f out of my house. Yeah.
Well, Matt's getting a workout on that. What is it? The F8 number or whatever?
Once
Oh
upon a
my
time, it
God, I'm
was.
sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, now it's just a little flag on my phone. I
Okay,
gotta do it
there you go.
for the home setup. But well worth it. Great story. I totally get
Right.
it. I've been going to the Super Bowl party like every year since I moved down here. Great house, great theater, fun people. The dog, I love their dog. And this year I was like, I'm not going. Like I'm not watching the Seahawks in the Super Bowl with other random people around. Like some of you guys know me a little bit. Like you don't know me watching football. Like you don't know me watching like week two against the Falcons or something. Like I'm like jumping up and down and yelling like, because every year I've been there, the Hawks haven't been in the Super Bowl. Like yeah, I'll watch the Chiefs and whoever with you guys. I don't give a shit. But this year, I'm like, no, you will think differently about me come Monday, one way or another.
Right. Well, that's why everybody at the bar, they're like, oh, you got to throw a Super Bowl party. You're throwing a Super Bowl party. And we're like, no, like, you don't want to see us. Like, you don't want to see Dan and I. We're not like the
We
jovial,
closed.
fun guy. Yeah, we closed. We're
We're
like, we
closed.
don't want your money. Like, get out of here. Everybody's like, you got to throw a party. We're like, no, like, we'll be sitting there like clammy hands, like being
In
like, hey, they're
isolation.
gonna blow this. They're gonna blow it. They're gonna blow it. And all of our regulars would be like, these guys are at they're these guys are jerks. Like, we thought they were good people, but they're actually bad people and they don't care.
Well, listen, King Cobb, his sister, and the mayor are with me watching the Colts game, right? It's December 14th. So Seahawks are rolling. We had gone and picked up a Christmas tree and everything. But I made some snacks. We're having fun. Well, now it's getting into the fourth quarter. And goddamn Philip Rivers is dealing and they're losing, right? God, what'd you say? Like, uh-oh, dad's gonna throw the tree into
Yeah, Ted
the
was getting heated.
pool. So right, like you guys can't see, but over there,
Rattled.
like right, like it's a big space, right? But like I have like a sectional, and the three of them are sitting on the couch, like kind of having fun. I'm like pacing
Yeah,
around.
pacing aggressively.
Right. Then they win that game. Cobb goes, get the tree out of the
We're back on, baby. Yeah,
But
it's
yeah,
rad.
I mean, I'm with you. The decibel, yeah, it just gets louder. And then, yeah, this one, that's why I was like, the place I'm going, we severely cut down on who was invited. So I'm like, well, I was like, one guy's not even a Seahawks fan. He's just gonna be loud. And then, yeah, I don't know. Like again, Pat, echoing what you were saying, I'm like, it's not like I have any effect on the game, but I'm just like, I gotta be focused, man.
Yeah.
I always say it's not like, I don't know. Me and Pat have been talking about this for the past couple of weeks, but for me, as far as it goes, when I'm watching a game, it's honestly not an enjoyable experience. It's like getting teeth pulled. It's too stressful.
My client that hosts the Super Bowl party that I go to, he's a Steelers fan. And like he was, I walked over, I was up at his house, and he was watching a Steelers podcast on YouTube, and then the recommendation was just all Steelers podcasts. Like, he listens to so much content, he can't watch the f-ing games. He's like, watching the game's too stressful. Like, someone will tell me which way it went when it's said and done, and then I'll watch all the post-game stuff. But like, yeah, I
Wow.
totally get where he's coming from.
Dude,
It's
honestly,
sickening.
yeah, the NFC Championship game, like the vibes in the stadium were so high that like it took me till the next day rewatching the game on NFL Network like a nerd. I was like, I don't think I realized how many times we almost lost that ball game. The
Yeah.
stadium, it was like, I don't know, man. We got to get back up, get loud again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, people were on fire that day.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
cried.
It's so ridiculous. It really
Mean,
is.
I'm crying. Cousin Sean's crying. We're calling his mom. I mean, I was hugging people I don't even know.
Yeah. That is the fun thing about, we were at the Chargers game, Dan and I. And the cool thing is, it's like when you are in a stadium, you forget that. 'Cause I got a little old man, like, I got my TV, I got my comfy chair, I could sit here and watch the game, like, why do I need to go down there? And then I went down there, and I like, there was this little old man in front of me, and we got
Oh
the
my
final
God.
snack. Oh my God. So like, he turned around and was like high-fiving us during the game. I'm going around, there's all these like bros behind us, and I'm like high-fiving them. This little old man, like, we got the final sack. I shook this guy and grabbed him, like his head was like about to fall off his body. They're like, you almost threw that guy down the stairs. It's like, but like that visceral emotion, which is that many people. I know, like, Cobb, you would be into something like that, and
Hell
obviously
yeah.
you guys like Burning Man and stuff like that. It's just like, it's that feeling of just like all those human beings and that collective, that tribalism that you get, where it's like, it's just so hard to get that in any other way, where it's just like, you're like that conquering army that like you achieved something, and it's like, like you fended off the gates, the barbarians at the gate, and it's ridiculous, but it's like that simulated thing that human beings have been doing for thousands of years that, yeah, it's just when you're through it, you're like, damn, that was awesome. But if you lose, it's like, oh my God, I'm like raped and pillaged. Like, it's all over. Like my lineage is in slavery now. It's like, well, it's not that far. It's different day and age, but that's like the
Might
feeling.
as well be.
Your nervous system still treats it like that.
Right.
The Uber
It's
ride
primal.
home,
It's a primal experience.
the Uber ride home after the Huskies lost to Michigan in the national title game. Right,
Oh.
it's me, Cobb, and his father-in-law. And his father-in-law goes, "Can you turn off the radio? I don't want to hear it." And I go, "No, leave it on. Let's remember this pain."
Oh, God.
And I am not the one to be overruling his father-in-law, but I was like, God, you're right. I mean, just the lowest of
Yeah.
low.
Nope.
Oh, man, that actually was hilarious. And it was a great day otherwise, too. But like, those
Phenomenal.
Michigan fans knew they were winning that game. Pat, you're right. It is a primal, connected feeling. Like, I get the same thing at concerts or like, college football. I mean, that's why I go to a bar to watch. Is like, it feels better celebrating a touchdown with 100 other, like drunk, happy people. And like, I feel like also that speaks to your guys's true fanship. That so people, I don't know if people know, besides the popcorn business, you guys own like a big beer garden. Like, this is not a small operation. I mean, this thing's massive. So they are leaving like a 10,000 more than $10,000 plus on the table to just watch this game at home. Like, that's the passion. Like, they could fly cross country and watch with Ted where they'd
Yeah.
work that day, like, it's insane. So super cool. Yeah, I did think you guys would be more like averse to the Seahawks winning. I don't know why those balloons just went off. They do it sometimes.
was pretty sick. Oh,
this is
that
just
was sick, actually.
This is a little bit of a coaching technique, though. They're like, oh, we got no shot, man. No chance.
Yeah, I smelt that reverse jinx from a mile away. Nice try, boys.
Persuno.
No, I mean,
yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I think, I don't know. I think we are right where we want to be. And I don't want to change that. And I don't want to say anything that mushes that. I think I'm exactly where I would want to be if I were the Patriots, of just kind of like the underdog, not like a double digit underdog, but like a slight underdog. And everyone's just like, oh yeah, you guys haven't played anybody. It's like, well, we've actually like played a lot of the best defenses in the NFL. We've played a lot of dog shit quarterbacks in the NFL, but as far as defenses go, we've played the best of the best. So, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say too, I feel like it's totally just personal, but I feel like I'm just a bad talker. Like I'm one of those people that like every time I talk shit, I end up like sitting there at the end and being like I'm not that like some people can do it. Ted, I feel like you're a decent talker where it's like lot of times it comes through and it backs yourself up. But for me, for some reason, I'll be like, oh yeah. Like whenever I'm like run my mouth, I'm like, I'm always disappointed. Whenever I'm like, we're screwed. Then I, then I feel like I'm like pleasantly surprised. Like, you know, like even in the playoff game, I was telling my kids, I'm like, it's over. We lost. Like don't even get excited. It was like the first series of the Patriots. When we went 3-and-out. I'm like, guys, don't get your hopes up. It's not going to happen, you know? And then it happens. The Giants years, I was like, we are going to steamroll this team. We're going to kill them. And I just feel like some people are good at kind of like, they're good at calling their shots. And they just, it seems to work out for them and it gives them like an extra wave. But I don't know. I feel like Dan and I are not that great at that. And we're always just like, no, this is going to be bad. We're not going to do good.
Yeah. And like, I haven't had a super feeling on this one yet, other than close. Like the Niners game, I felt pretty confident. And then we just blew the doors off them. The Rams game, people were talking loose at that tailgate. Like, and I was like, no. The Rams are super good. This is going to be a dogfight, which it was.
Yeah.
So this one, I'm not sure. I do think, though, God, the main thing that scares me about the Pats, honestly, is the defense. Like, that defense is a lot better. And like Dan was saying, you just don't know all the names. Like, everybody knows the Seahawks defense and what they're about. So if defense or Shahid on special teams makes a play, I'm like, let's go.
I think there's three things.
Big media week. Oh, go ahead.
I think there's three things with the Patriots that, if they are able to pull out a win, it would be because of some coaching thing that Vrabel pulls out of his ass that just, you know, changes one little minute detail, whether it's like clock management wise or anything like that. What were the other two? Or you just had brain fart.
It didn't even get to two.
And I had three in my head.
Yeah, it's a hell of an analysis.
I'm still trying out for ESPN. Drake May's legs. I don't think people put enough respect on Drake May's legs. And all right. I think he's a super smart quarterback when it comes to decision making, both of like, you know, when to, he has a little bit of like fumbleitis. If he can just take care of the ball and not put it on the ground himself, he makes really good decisions on when to throw and when to just say, screw it, I'm just going to pick up 10 yards here and 15 yards here just with my legs. And then, damn, what was the second? What was the third one?
Those AirPods are scrambling your brains, man. You gotta
get really is.
Plugins.
It really is. Bro. I need some glasses too.
You're San Francisco my, like, and you're San Francisco and yourself at home, dude.
I did. I don't know. It'll come to me.
That makes me feel good though. He's like, I got three things. One, two. Oh, what was that? I got 10 reasons to see Seahawks.
Hey, I barely got to two.
I'm not overly cocky. Like, I've been cautiously optimistic all season, but I got a lot more than three ready.
Here's a wild prediction for you. I think both quarterbacks have an off pass. I think there's a chance they both might throw a pick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think they're both going to be very nervous.
Oh, yeah, and you're dealing with some incredible DBs on both sides.
Yeah. I will say, I do think it helps, though, and Vrabel's a great coach, but I think it does help a little bit mentally. At least it's helping me to be like, Belichick ain't over there, right? Tom Brady's not over there. They're just the same uniforms.
The ghost of Brady. I think one other thing that factors in that people forget with the Super Bowl specifically is you also have this whole media week ahead of time with tons of commitments and, you know, they're hearing more of what the other side is saying. And I feel like for a great defense like the Pats, it puts a chip on their shoulder when they're not getting the respect they deserve. Like they're going to hit a little harder, be a little meaner because all of the love, all the media spotlight is on the Seahawks defense. And that's going to piss some people off. And, you know, a passionate defense can be tough to deal with.
Yeah. The other thing about a Super Bowl is it's almost like two separate games too, because the halftime is so freaking long. Mm-hmm. Like a normal halftime is what, 12 minutes in the NFL. And with all the pageantry and, you know, you have a concert in the middle of this game. And a lot of coaches talk about how you essentially have extra time to possibly make adjustments. In a normal NFL game, people think a lot of adjustments are made at halftime. They're really not. It's a lot of people just getting electrolytes or getting retaped or anything like that. And you don't have the time to actually do many adjustments. But in the Super Bowl, you actually do. So I don't know. I think it's going to come down to coaching decisions. But
yeah,
we'll see. It's going to be a fist fight.
So it is. There was a funny moment this week. I was listening to the Seahawks reporter named Michael Sean Dugar's podcast. And I had seen the tweet before last week of like, this week, both games are a battle between Coach Mike and Coach Sean. And then he was on his podcast and he's like, oh, both coaches are named Mike and both coaches they played last week were named Sean. You'd think I would have known that by now. My name's Michael Sean. And I was just like, dude, I knew that from Twitter like 3 days before either game kicked off. What the hell are you doing? You're a professional reporter. They're your names. But
that's crazy.
Mike McDonald's got a lot of Seahawks had a lot of games where they, like you're talking about the adjustments, they came out in the second half. Like the first half was kind of close, and then they just blew the doors off their opponent in over halftime. And he's undefeated after a bye week. So, you know, we got those going for us. But Vrabel's guys are going to be ready to play. Like both coaches, I would run through a wall for.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Right. I'm with you. That's why it's like it was much easier to hate the Pats like years ago with like Tom Brady and Belichick and all those. It was just like now I'm like I kind of like Vrabel. I'm kind of shocked Tennessee ever fired him. Like, yeah, that worked out.
How can you not?
All right, Pat, Dan, anything you guys need to plug? Popcorn bars.
we won't talk popcorn. Go shop at Cobb's. He's got great popcorn. We won't plug in popcorn. But if you are on Cape Cod, come out and see a show. We don't have Devils Hunt Me Down, but
that would be so sick. I would fly out for that.
We did do a punk show, a hardcore punk show on Friday night. Pretty wild show. Like, oi, like crazy, crazy punk show. A lot of screaming. Matt, you would have really liked this show.
Dude, those are so fun.
Yeah.
Was that your first time seeing something like that?
It really was. It was kind of hilarious. Yeah. Like, nice. Yeah. So like the woman who books it, she's like, all right, you know, we got the show. It's, you know, it's going to be a little rough around the edges, but like, you know, they're good people. They're super nice. Like, you know, professional people. Yeah. It was four bands, like four hardcore punk bands. It was funny. Cause like everybody you talk to, like, I'd be like, oh, we got a punk show coming in. And they'd be like, oh, cool. Like a Blink 182 tribute band. I'm like, no, like this is like hardcore, like punk, like English punk. Yeah. But, yeah, it was definitely, it was a fun concert, but yeah, you know, the Smith brothers are there in their like khaki pants and like blue, blue polos, listening to this hardcore punk. Like everybody's rolling in like Mohawks every which way, like, crazy jackets, motorcycle clubs. Like, I mean, it was a crazy crowd, but yeah, I was
Oh,
thinking
that's
about
so
like, oh,
cool.
Matt would love this show. This would be fun.
Oh,
What are
man.
the,
Yeah,
what's that
those are so
crowd?
fun.
What's that crowd? What are they ripping? Just beers and whiskey? Is it
It was
Bud
a lot of
Heavy?
beers, Bud Heavies, lots of Bud
Bud
Heavies,
Heavies.
lots of cigarettes, lots of cigarettes, lots of
Yeah.
cash at the door. Yeah. Yep.
That is
Yeah. I
hardcore.
mean, it was also what we had a high of 9 degrees that night.
Yeah.
So
Oh.
people were just like, we were running, we were running coat check, but everyone's just leaving their coats on because they're just like, we're just so in and out, like all, we have the inside space and then we have the outdoor beer garden. So people are like, is it cool if I go out and, take my beer with me and have a smoke? And like, yeah, that's fine. It's like, just so you know, it like feels like negative 5 degrees right now. They're like, all right,
Oh
cool,
my
we're good.
God.
Man.
Yeah.
I was golfing in the
Jesus,
80s.
boys.
I was going to say, it's going to be 60 here tomorrow.
That was this past
Oh my
weekend.
God.
Yeah, I think we
Matt,
hit
it had.
82.
Oh, and by the way, we have 2 feet of snow over here, which is now 2 feet of ice. It's like, it's bad days. Yeah. It's brutal. And
We
the
deserve it.
forecast, it's not getting above what, 30 degrees for the next, like, however long the forecast is forecasted out for, like
10 more
14
days.
days. It's there's nothing on the horizon over 30 degrees. Pat, you
Wow.
had to shovel out your driveway? It's a lot
Dude,
of ice.
you don't even know. So, like, all right, real quick, because I know you guys have like a real cast to do before we
I was like, a little
jack the
inside
whole
baseball,
thing.
but
But like,
yeah.
my driveway is like literally like 3/4 of a mile long. And so my plow guy called me like early December, and he's like, hey, my truck broke down. I'm not, I can't do driveways this year. Here, like, I just want to give you a heads up. I'm like, oh, no problem. We haven't gotten snow the last 4 years. I felt bad. Like, he hasn't even come. Dude, I had to shovel the whole thing. Took me 6 hours to shovel the whole thing. It was brutal, back-breaking work. Like, yeah, got like 20 inches. And so then Dan calls me and he's like, hey, we got to go down to the shop. We got to go shovel that out. And so we had to go shovel that night. And then I'm renting a house because like my house is getting a ton of renovations done on it, which is like why I'm in the garage here. So then I had to go to the rental house and shovel that driveway out. So I was like, by like the next day, I'm like, I'm legitimately broken, like just a broken man. I'm like, this is how people have heart attacks. I used to be like, how do these old people have heart attacks? And I'm like, yeah, this is how you just shovel three ridiculous driveways, like 2.5 feet of snow. It's terrible, terrible.
Right,
We
and it's
deserve the
cold
Super
out.
Bowl. We've
It's cold,
suffered.
right? Oh, we suffered. We deserve a Super Bowl. Yeah, whatever.
We barely get any. We don't get anything good. We deserve a Super Bowl. You guys have 60-degree days. Matt's golfing.
I'm
I'm
golfing before the
busting.
Super
We're
Bowl,
living
and
the
I
hard
deserve a
life.
win. Yeah. Dude, I mean, look, Eddie, if it was like, just like, yeah, but it's the Pats. Man, you guys, like, nobody feels bad for Boston. And then that run, then the Red Sox started winning, and goddamn Bruins. Didn't the Bruins toss in a couple? Like the Celtics? Like,
Are
Celtics,
you
yeah.
guys full Boston sports fans for
Oh,
all the
yeah.
leagues? Oh, dude, you've had an amazing century since 2000.
Since
Yeah.
2000, I mean, the chart is ridiculous. When you look at it, it's like every other year almost. It's pretty.
The crazy stat is and I didn't really realize it until I saw it the other day, but I think it was like since 2001, a Boston sports team has been in their semifinals every year since 2001.
Wow.
Is that
That's
crazy?
insane. Yeah.
That's so
Whether it's
believable.
like, I mean, the Patriots went to seven AFC championship games in and of themselves. So there's 7 years right there. But then when they didn't, it was like, all right, the Red Sox were in, the ALCS, or the Celtics were in the Eastern Conference Finals, or So yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches, and we deserve another. That's the only way to explain
Man, as much as the driveway shoveling story pulled me in, and I was like, Pat does deserve good things. Dan just pushes us right back off the cliff, and I'm like, F those guys, F the Patriots, go Seahawks.
jump on them early, beat them by 30. I want to be browned out by the fourth quarter. just loving life.
I mean, just thinking of the Sonics alone, like when they left town, that devastated my childhood.
Sure.
Yeah, the Mariners still haven't made a World Series. I mean, great run this year, but they still haven't been to World Series. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, right. I'll say this. I lived in Boston, and they are huge sports fans. But around 2009, it did feel like there was like, oh, another championship. Who cares? Like the parades were getting small, you know?
100%.
Yep.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, yeah. Neptunes, if you're ever on out in Cape Cod and Hyannis, go to Neptunes, see a show. And then, you can order some Smith Family popcorn if you're not in the area to buy from Cobb's, of course.
Wait till after the
Family
Super Bowl.
Popcorn's legit, man. They're
awesome. It's really good. It's really good. I want to give them a glowing review, but I'll save that for next week.
Yeah. Matt and I have been strict.
Not today. Yeah.
We've no Boston cream pie, like desserts.
That's what I was just going to say. If you guys have heard me talk about Sherman's Boston cream pie and how much I love it, we were at Sherman's and I was like so ready. And I was like, wait a minute. It's Boston cream pie. I can't f-ing eat this right now.
Can't do it.
Yeah. I won't even touch lobster. That's awesome. Should we make a bet?
Yes.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I already have mind, Ted.
How many points do they need?
If the Patriots win, you guys all have to shave your heads. If the Seahawks win, we'll shave our heads.
Yeah. I mean, it's much.
Wait a minute,
much...
So Matt and I are the only ones with hair.
You got to put your thumb on the scale.
That's how the Smiths work. The Smiths just drag everyone with hair down to our level.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. Ted, did you have anything in mind?
I don't know. We could do money, but that's too easy. There's got to be something with the popcorn, just because we have two popcorn shops. But I don't know. It's like, all right, yeah, we got some Cobbs. Like, sweet, we got some Smiths.
Dude, that's a good point. I wish I had thought about this earlier because it's tough to come up with on the spot a good bet.
I'll tell you what, we could send you. The podcast to get together if we need the funds and send you some salmon, and then you guys got to send us some stuffies.
Could do that.
Stuff clams. Yeah.
I was like, I have no idea what a stuffy is, but I'm in.
But I want one.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I want it.
You know, that's like the porn, blue in the face. You'll get to that page one day, Cobb.
Yeah, the stuffies.
Oh, yeah, page 9, stuffies. Damn.
Oh, man.
All right, by the way, for the record, I'm sure he told you, your father bet me $100 as I was still standing in the stadium. I mean, it's going to Christina's fund, but he's like, $100. I was like, yeah, I mean, like, you can't ask a man standing in the stadium watching them hand us the NFC trophy. I was like, you're f***ing on, Uncle Phil. Like, get in line.
Make it 1,000.
Oh, man.
Right, exactly. That day, I probably would have said, make it 1,000. No problem.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so rad.
Wow. All right, so salmon for stuffies.
Perfect.
Done deal.
All right.
Good.
Love it.
Thank you guys for everything you do. We appreciate you guys. We always love listening to you guys. You guys have had a big impact on us, even though, you know, you guys don't know it. But we appreciate you guys putting out the stuff, putting out the content. And it's always been awesome to listen to you guys and see it evolve over the years. So always appreciate it.
Hell yeah, dude. This is so fun. It's great to meet you guys. Obviously, we've heard a lot about you. And I do love the popcorn. And we get it every year. So, this has been a lot of fun. Perfect week for it.
Yeah, we got to make sure we get it out. Chris is fired up to hear it. Pat, Dan, love you guys. I'm sure we'll text on Sunday.
Yeah. Let's get a whole group text going here.
Yeah, yeah. Try to be legit.
Then we'll get our real thoughts out. See how that goes.
All right, Matt. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt in the cop topic?
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. As always, God forbid something happens, you get hit or injured, please call our friends at the Advocates. And then if something gets a little stinky, please call Pinky's Plumbing. They'll help you out there. A lot of stuff can happen. And folks, the weather's coming back. All right, it's been nice, but this is false spring. Don't fall for it. Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
Yes, and we have a rarity, a rare miss from our boy, Miami Jake. Email as follows. My Rams, your Hawks, rubber match for all the marbles. Let's effing go. Super excited to watch this one from the Hawks nest. Good luck either way, fellas. Miami Jake. That did not age well. I spent that on the 26th.
Or the 21st. Up in the Hawks nest.
I respect that too. The Diamond Dogs. Gentlemen. God, why is my... Sorry. My screen is like giving this to me really small. I can barely read them. Should have done this in the break. Okay. Gentlemen, as I was barking with you at the end of last week's episode, I realized the greatest podcast in all the land...
All the land.
...has been Ted Lasso's Diamond Dogs since before a single episode of Ted Lasso ever hit the proverbial airwaves. Just a group of unashamed dudes enjoying friendship and supporting each other on the journey of mental health and wellness. All that was missing until now was the barking. Maybe Bill Lawrence owes the boys some money. LARP on. Carson the lawyer. I wonder how many people bark like into their headphones or under their breath when they hear it. It's like, you're the dog.
I hope they do.
I hope so too. Decision I hope to remember forever. Greetings, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I'm in Mexico next week for work before making my way up to Seattle to bring my yearly supply of Tim Tams and Aussie sports gear for Ted. Through sheer dumb luck, I'm flying in from DFW on Super Bowl Sunday. Originally, I was supposed to fly in later that evening, but channeling my inner Ted, I've decided to spend the extra $300 and fly in early, as it just feels like the stars have aligned like never before, like Ted and his ticket to the championship game. So, question for the Seattle locals, where in town could I go to watch the game to make it a memory of a lifetime? Would there be a live site somewhere, perhaps? LARP on and go Hawks. Cheers, Aaron from Melbourne. Boys?
Yeah, you know what? I talked to Aaron on WhatsApp or other stuff pretty regularly, so I'll hit him up this year for sure. I'm looking through it right now to see what time he's coming in.
So, more generally, if like people listening are looking to watch the Hawks game, what's kind of a great go-to spot in Seattle? Man. Oh, what's that bar you were liking in rep them out in Ballard? That place looked amazing.
Oh, Slim Goody?
Yeah.
Slim Goody was dope. That's really good. I mean, you can always go to Buckley's in Belltown or Queen Anne, but I feel like those bars would be really crowded. I know... What do they call it? The Hall? It used to be Queen Anne Beer Hall. They just call it the Hall now. So it's like German theme, but they're doing a watch party. Yeah, I got to look up. I didn't think about live watch parties. I'm looking through the text. I'm trying to figure out something close to the hotel if he's down there too.
Slugs is always pretty good.
I would think it's going to be tough to like, it's going to be crowded down by the stadium, but like that's kind of the fun. And if they win, that's going to be pandemonium right afterwards.
Ground zero.
Yeah.
Aaron's so funny. Last week we were texting about tennis, and finally he's just like, dude, it's going to keep going. Just what do you say? Go to bed. I'll let you know in the morning who wins. Yeah, I'll check in with him. But yeah, Aaron, we'll get you covered there, man. But yeah, Cobb, you're right. There's a bunch of places. Yeah, I mean, any of the bars. I mean, honestly, they're in the playoff. They're in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I feel like, for Aaron or anybody else, if you're flying into town that Sunday, just find somewhere to hunker down. That's anything. Like, people will be out.
Tiny World. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I don't know why I let this sit in my drafts for so long. First time emailer, love the cast. Listening to episode 433 currently, story time. So I'm a classically trained chef that has worked food service and hospitality for over 20 years. Currently a seasonal Currently a seasonal sous chef for land-based cruise guests in Denali National Park, Alaska. Nice. One of my jobs was the store manager of Cucuruza Gourmet Popcorn in downtown Seattle in 2014. Unfortunately, things didn't work out with the management there, but wish my time in the popcorn industry was longer. I've often heard Cobb talk about his popcorn shop in Seattle, and I often thought, man, that flavor sounds real familiar, like the brown butter. I wonder if he had any connections to Cucuruza. Boys, it's a teeny tiny world, and you can imagine my surprise when I heard Cobb mention that he took over that brand. We moved a ton of corn through that store, lots of good times. Read this on the cast or not, just could not share this with y'all. Cheers, Chef Zach from Lakewood.
That's awesome, dude.
Isn't that an awesome one? Yeah, we bought Cucuruza Gourmet Popcorn when they were spiraling into bankruptcy in, what was that, 2018, I want to say, 2019? Can't remember.
Basically, we're right after packing their bags in 2020 when I was there.
Yeah. So, we bought it. We were just about to open our store, actually, right down the street. It's an interesting story. And then somebody posted on Reddit that there was a sheriff sign on the front door of the store that this guy worked at, downtown Seattle. It was right on Pike Street, probably like a, you know, double-digit Pike address, right there by the front of Pike Place Market, but not in Pike Place. And, the sheriff posted like an eviction notice. And so I walked up there and I was like, oh, you know, maybe these guys are selling some equipment or I just want to see what's up because we hadn't bought equipment yet. And I walked in and talked to one of the owners and he asked if we wanted to buy the whole business. So, you know, it was maybe a month of negotiating and went and looked at their warehouse and a bunch of their stores. And yeah, we ended up taking over the brand. They had like, let's say 16 franchises at that time, something like that. And it was interesting. It was like a distressed asset purchase. Super cool. And you're right. Our brown butter and sea salt flavor is directly from them. It's the only one that we keep super secret. And it's my favorite flavor. So what's up, Chef Zach?
You should. I mean, I bring it up all the time. It is so, your cheddar is pretty damn good too. I like all your flavors, but like that brown butter is special.
Yeah, the brown butter hits. Honestly, our cheddar is crazy expensive to make. I was like crunching the numbers the other day and it's like compared to brown butter, it's probably five times the cost to make. But anyway, all right. This one says a Cobb-centric email. We already did that. So let's do this. Ted's Puffy Muffy. Hello to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I should have clarified how I modified Ted's Puffy Muffy. The sour cream you saw was actually ricotta, and the Doritos were diced up pepperoni. They turned out fantastic. Sour cream and Doritos is a funny thought. Go Hawks and LARP on. Steven from North Idaho.
Yeah, he's just getting it done up there.
Yeah. Also, that says a little bit about our bachelor status and our trashiness.
Yeah. All right. Let's cut the emails there because we ran a little long with the Smith boys, which was bound to happen. But my cousin just texted me. He's like, sorry, man, you knew that was going to happen. I was like, yeah, I do, which it's fine. There's a very strong chance that we will never play the Patriots again for however long in a Super Bowl. So, yeah. All right. Let's check in with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to what's Matt means.
Cobb's talking about our bachelorhood, and my girlfriend's out of town. She made some great steaks before she left her in the fridge, and today I realized I really like cold steak. I made a steak salad and brought it to work. And it was awesome. And then now I'm into eating steak cold with my bare hands at home. Just it's so satisfying, like a caveman. So that's where I'm at in my life, if anyone's wondering. The rest of the week has been a lot of, you know, Super Bowl excitement, content consumption and fantasizing and analyzing. And just, it's kind of taken over my mind. But it's fun. And then Sunday, I got to play golf with my dad and my client who Ted met at the Nest. Yeah. Another member was going to come down, but he couldn't make it. He had some work stuff. But yeah, this is the first time my dad and that guy met. They had the same job titles at different companies. They had a lot in common. And we just had a great time. Me and my client walked. It's a walkable course. The course that I work at that he plays at all the time is not walkable at all. so he really enjoyed that. And it's just a different style course than the two I work at. And so, yeah, he had a great time. He's involved in the golf industry, and so I'm trying to use more of his brand stuff. So anytime there's like a good shot, you go, that's that club, that's those balls. Like we're just having a lot of good laughs and just a super fun round walking. I didn't play particularly well, but that's because I kept hitting it too far. So that's my favorite way to suck at golf.
I don't know if it's good or bad, but there's no football on this weekend. So Saturday I crock pot it, made like pork carnitas. Mm. And then Sunday I made a crab soup.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. After golf, I had a crab cake, eggs Benedict. Phenomenal. At the clubhouse.
Top notch.
Oh, so good.
Dude. So the funny thing is my mom gave me this magnet like 10 or 15 years ago that has a recipe for Maryland crab soup. Never made it. And then I had to make some this weekend. So I was like, all right, I'm going to make it. And it turned out really well. I just used like store-bought crab meat and then put some like snow crab legs in there and stuff for like flavor. And I also picked some of those crab meat out. And I was like, yeah. And I was talking to my brother today. I go, yeah, I mean, mom gave me that like 15 years ago. Now, you know me, man. I had it in my hoodie and just kept pulling out the magnet. He goes, you could have taken a picture of the magnet. I was like, Yeah, I could have, but you know me. I was like, finally using the magnet. So imagine a grown man just walking around, keeps looking at a magnet and then finding stuff.
Magnet old enough for a learner's permit.
Yeah, right.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys. I don't know if this one will age well, but obviously the big Epstein file drop happened today. I mean, a lot of the files happened today. There's, 4 terabytes, so we haven't seen it all, but we've seen millions of files at this point. People are sorting through them quickly. Every reveal is more shocking than the last. So my question for people is, what's the most shocking detail from the Epstein files that you think the public still doesn't fully grasp? Feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com. I feel like the craziest thing to me is just that somehow universally, all these powerful people are into underage women. I just don't understand. Like, I don't get that. That seems like that shouldn't be universal. And so I feel like we just, I don't know. Like, that just feels very bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Like, I just hit a certain level of money and 14-year-olds are attractive.
I mean, honestly, that's a rough question. It's already so dark. I don't know that you can get much worse. But with that said, I will say this. I follow this old guy that was in the FBI for years online. And he was like, you're never going to really, nothing's going to happen. He's like, these are the most powerful people in the world. And the way they keep releasing them with stuff redacted and this and that, there's enough information kept out of it that he's like, it's enough to keep you happy because you feel like you're going to find something and be like, we got them. But he's like, nothing's going to happen, which is sad. But I mean, it's not like it was a secret in those circles. And
yeah,
you know,
that's kind of what happened with the Panama Papers, honestly.
Huge
reveals and nobody went to prison.
And well, that was my answer to the question, which the question was, what's the most shocking detail, right? Lack of prosecution.
Yeah, that like indictments aren't flying right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's so much like in between about, well, this or that, or I was on the plane, but I wasn't doing anything. It's like, yeah. I mean, because there's obviously other people that met this dude and were like, no, like, I'm not hanging out with that
guy. Aren't there like tapes of like videos that he had for blackmail purposes? So like, you have evidence for prosecution. Just, you know, burn the place down. Let's see what happens. See who's still standing.
His coke.
There are 14 terabytes. It's all video.
A video? So there's plenty of evidence. Hang on.
His co-conspirator is still sitting in a jail, like a minimum security jail. She already cut
white collar resort jail.
Right. Like, she already cut some deal. That's, I'm just like I know for a while the Republican Party was all fired up about it, but like, that's what I'm saying. This terrible thing crosses both lines, and it's just some of the most powerful people in the world. And I don't think anything will come of it. And like, she's right there. Like, in theory, she could just come out and lay it on the line, but I can't imagine they'd ever let that happen.
Well, yeah. And honestly, a lot of people think Epstein's not even dead. And
Jesus Christ. All right.
Like, wait, man, you want to go Hawks?
Talking football, I know. I'm just like, hey, let's end it on the Epstein files. Like, oh, Jesus.
Dude, that's
man.
What people love about us, man. We're light and dark. We don't embrace our dark side. We can't celebrate with the Hawks on Sunday, baby.
I think you need an NA beer.
Jeez. I'm on number two.
Yeah, me too, man. I cracked open the second one. I'll tell you what, Matt, they do taste good. Again, my mind's tricking me. I'm like, yeah, it's good to relax. No, Cobb, you're not wrong. I'm just like, I don't know. It's all terrible. But sadly, who knows, right? It's like, yeah, there's a ton of that stuff, right? Like, what's it, like 8 people basically run the world?
Yeah.
So, who knows? Well, you know, I don't know. I was going to make a joke.
Popcorn. Go
yeah,
Hawks.
Get some popcorn. Go Hawks. Let's. That's what people like about this.
Pay attention to the gladiators. Ignore the politics. Watch the show.
I mean, you're not wrong, but Jesus Christ, like, I want to watch the gladiators.
Enjoy the games. Don't be distracted by these rumors in the newspapers. They're lying. Go Hawks.
All right. I'm sure we will talk on Sunday. Matt, hopefully me and you need to smoke a cigarette.
Can't wait.
Thank you for putting out that tweet, by the way. We were clearly ahead of the curve. Everybody's talking about his dad.
That's what I'm saying. I just want to get our roses, man. We were mid-October talking about Sam Darnold's grandpa, and now everyone's like, did you know? Like, the podcast listeners did.
Yeah. And what's his name? Barner catches a TD pass on a slant. I could be like, I told Coach.
Speak it into existence, baby. Let's go.
All right. All right, everybody have fun this weekend watching that game. I love my cousins, but I hope they're sad this weekend. You're the dog. Go Hawks. For MCTP, for Cobb, the Ted Smith is the podcast. Cheers.
With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your finances. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.